Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
He's texting, folks. He is texting. Are you texting Dylan Raiola, or who are you texting?
I said the deal's done. Just get okay. Here.
Here we are. We're back. I texted you. I was like, man, there's too much going on. You've been in Dallas. You've been doing work stuff. You've been doing. I've been busy, but we had to find a way to get together to talk here.
This probably qualifies as emergency status.
Emergency status. That's exactly it. So here. So let me timestamp this thing. It is about 2:00 on December 13th. The only scary thing about like doing a pod during these times is like news changes in a second, you know, like, so by the time we record this and release it, God knows what Nebraska's situation is going to be, but here we are.
Do we need to record two versions?
Alternate like versions.
South Park did this, I think, after the 2016 election. They did like both versions.
Right.
And they released it the next day because they truly didn't
but you
know.
I wouldn't even know there would be like a version where Raiola then goes back to Georgia. There'd be the version where Raiola stays at Nebraska.
Yeah.
There'd be a version where Kyle McCord comes to Nebraska or doesn't come to Nebraska. Like there are too many things.
Okay.
Too many versions of this thing.
Predictions though. Like if it works, it's both of them. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's what it sounds like.
Or neither?
I don't know if it's both or neither, but it sounds like there's a world and almost, I don't know. I mean, I listen to people and they make it sound like it is, there's a pretty good chance there's going to be both of them. Which is like, oh my God.
Okay, could you explain it to me?
Well, no, I cannot. Because
explain
that's the thing
it
is,
to me. Well, what I mean, the heck just happened?
I don't know, because the thing that's amazing is there wasn't even a rumbling about this.
No.
Like, you know what I even forgot? Remember, Raiola came to a game this year as like,
yeah.
And he was there. Not even as a recruit, like it, people had moved on.
Yeah.
Right. There wasn't any rumblings about this. And then seemingly out of nowhere, 2-3 days ago or whatever it was, Nebraska's back in the mix for Dylan Raiola. And I don't understand what happened here. Like, I mean, because just to keep people up to speed, he was committed to Ohio State. Then he decommitted to Ohio mm-hmm. State. Then about a year ago at this time, around December, Nebraska and Raiola were like flirting hard. They were in the corner. I think they were in the corner of the bar, like making out hard. Yes. Like, no, kind of holding hands.
And Nebraska was like, do you want to be my girlfriend?
And Dylan Raiola said, I don't. And he left with Georgia, left the bar with Georgia. So he was really hot and heavy with Nebraska. Then he commits to Georgia. And then seemingly things kind of went quiet for a long stretch of time here. Nebraska immediately landed in-state Bellevue West quarterback Daniel Kalen.
Yeah, and that to me is the move on moment. Like,
yes,
like we're getting over Dylan.
We got a new girlfriend.
Yeah, and we get Daniel Kalen. Like, Dylan's over. It's Daniel now. Right. And I think that's where people moved on. Like, we found our guy instead. Like, with Kalen, and that was that. Like, it was done. It's right. That's done. So, Nick, what happened in the last week or month or day or what could it be? That's what I don't really understand.
Well, a couple of things with this. So this weekend, Raiola's coming on an official visit.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if Dominic Raiola, considering his relationship with Nebraska, his brother on staff, all those kinds of things, would let this situation get to where it's at now, where he has... All of a sudden, he's back in the fold with Nebraska. He's coming on an official visit the weekend before the early signing period. He's going to be an early enrollee.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if Dominic would let it get to this point and have him Nebraska.
Yes, like if it were some elaborate, like, negotiating tactic, right?
Yeah, I don't
like if he ends up back at Georgia after a visit here, that is a little, you know, like it is what it is if that's the case, but I can't imagine that would be either.
Like
it just seems a little too personal for the Raiolas to want to do that here.
Just put yourself in the Raiola kitchen table. Dom's talking to Dylan and this comes up.
Yeah.
And I would have to imagine at some point Dominic goes, "Hey man, it's your life, but I just if we make this move, we got to see this thing through."
Okay, I'm glad you've started this train, cuz now this is, gets me thinking here, right? So the reason why this is probably not a negotiation tactic to me is cuz a better tactic is to go to Alabama or go to Georgia's other closest rival, which is what, between it's Alabama or Florida? Probably Alabama at this point, right?
Yeah.
I think if you're Raiola, you go to Alabama and say,
to drive up the price or whatever.
You're telling Georgia, like, "Hey, they're offering a big number. I think you guys are," you know, like if we're playing a very big game of hypothetical, but now that you got me thinking about it, I don't think they do that with Nebraska.
You don't, that he wouldn't, you, I just don't think Dom would use Nebraska, no. Use his brother it's on
too,
staff.
It's too personal, too nasty.
Because, okay, let's as we're now, I mean, we're all just spewing stuff right
this
now,
is
right?
Because
no one understands what's going on. Yeah. Like, there's a world where Dylan does this. And then maybe it's all a tactic and he ends up back at Georgia and Daniel Kalen decommits and signs with Michigan State. By the way, it sounds like that's what's going to happen here. As Sean Callahan tweeted,
Daniel Kalen
is now visiting Michigan State. And I think Sean Callahan has put in his prediction that Daniel Kalen is headed potentially to East Lansing. So, and Kyle McCord was on his visit to Nebraska when this news broke.
Yeah.
So there's and maybe Kyle McCord doesn't like Raiola in the equation.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say, it would be pretty crappy if Dylan used Nebraska as bait, or the Raiolas used Nebraska as bait and left to go back to Georgia, and they lost out on Kyle McCord and lost Daniel Kalen over it.
This is where it can't be the case. More you think through this, right? If you're thinking through this logically, like, his uncle is on staff.
Yes.
That makes his uncle look bad. That hurts his uncle's job.
Right.
And it hurts the team, his uncle's coaching, that his father played on and loves dearly.
Yes.
They don't want to do that to Nebraska. So, like, the more I say it out loud, the more I go, "Yeah, that's right. There's no way they're doing that," which actually gives me the feeling that this is going to happen.
I would say right now, because of all of that, I would say it's like I'm at 95% that next week, exactly 1 week from today, early signing is the early, that Dylan Raiola is going to sign with Nebraska next week.
That is amazing.
It is incredible. Now, the thing that is, you started by going, "What happened?" You read stuff that there's a log jam at quarterback at Georgia, or maybe there was some stuff promised NIL wise at Georgia that hasn't come to fruition. I will say this. It does feel like this has to be a case of, like, it feels more like I don't want to play for Georgia now than it is that I want to play at Nebraska. Like,
yeah,
because nothing really has changed at Nebraska. Like, if anything, I'd say watching 1 year under Rule from a quarterback's perspective probably wasn't the most exciting picture to witness.
No,
they go 5-7. They lead the nation in turnovers. The offense was the worst it's been in 60 years. And it's not like Nebraska is just flush with offensive talent right now. So it's hard for me to size up that what exactly changed for Dylan Raiola to go, "You know what? I want to be a Husker."
Yeah, there's a week to go. And let me read, like, I don't think so. It's gotta be
something happened.
It's gotta
Georgia.
Be money, or it's gotta be, I think this has gotta be a Georgia issue. Like,
yes.
So let's say there's three scenarios. I think that's of anything, right? And I don't think one of them, I just want to go to Nebraska. I don't think that's one of them. I think it's logjam, coaching, something in that realm. Not money wise at Georgia is an issue for the Raiola family. Two, a money issue at Georgia. And three, Nebraska found some major room in their pocketbooks and said, Dylan, I have something I want to talk to you about. And Dylan's eyes got real big. So it's one of those three things
to me,
I'd be very curious to see how that played out, because man, it seems late in the game to be here.
It just doesn't make, I'm with you. It has to be one of those three things, because it just doesn't, on the surface, a lot of this doesn't make sense. A five-star quarterback would be going to Georgia to play with the most loaded roster in all of college football that's competing for national championships annually. You assume the NIL deal was good. Why would you walk away from that to go to Nebraska unless something, all those three scenarios that you just laid out? Like, I don't know. Or, I mean, there's also a chance that, like, is Dylan Raiola sitting there and thinking, like, I want to find a path to get on the field quicker. And rather than deal with the constant reloading and battling of other five-star quarterbacks that are, because that's the thing about those big programs.
It's true.
Every year, there's another five-star next big thing coming in.
Well, here's what you find. Like, if you look at the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, we've had a few Heisman Trophy winners that are transfer guys. The next school is where they make their run at. It's like they're in the mix and can't stay in the field or can't get the job. And they're, you know, because everybody there is a big time good player. And it's like, you know, like I even look at, like, is Jalen Hurts a better quarterback than Tua now? But Hurts got yanked out of the national title game because Tua was like, you know, like, you deal with that
when at those big schools.
At those big schools. Nebraska, essentially, like, it's whether he comes in and is given the keys or he asked, like, I want a buffer year where I can maybe, you know, see how the year goes for a senior guy, learn, develop, get ready. And then I'm either playing by the end of that first year or I'm taking over when I'm ready in the second year. I think that there could be some of that too. I don't know if he's a kid that wants to play now or if he's a kid that goes, you know, I talked to my dad, like, we want to take that year and, like, take it slow.
Right. Because maybe he looks at Nebraska and sees a quarterback situation that he can go in and just dominate right away.
Yeah.
But you bring up that whole, like, Tua and Jalen Hurts thing, like, maybe because of that quarterback situation at Nebraska, he also sees a situation where he is needed. Let's be honest, at Georgia doesn't necessarily, and this is not meant to be a shot at Dylan Raiola. No. And I'm going to use an example. Here it is. Georgia doesn't necessarily need Dylan Raiola. Yeah. There was a guy named Justin Fields that was at Georgia.
They didn't
need him.
That's it.
And they won a national title without him.
Yeah. And he is better off that he went to Ohio State and became a big time star and a first
round draft pick. Like, so I don't know, maybe he's also going Nebraska. Like, Nebraska obviously desperately needs a quarterback. So they desperately need Raiola. And that desperation can be good in two ways for someone like Raiola. Number one, getting onto the field quickly, or kind of being able to control your how you want this to look, right?
He's in the driver's seat.
Or like you said, where Nebraska found a bunch of money, it's also good because of that desperation for the NIL world.
Oh, man.
Where maybe Sims being so bad and the turnovers being so crazy and the offensive production being so terrible and the other two quarterbacks, Harburg and Chuba, coming in and continuing to struggle, maybe all of that has led to a situation where Nebraska is in a different spot than they were last December in terms of what they could promise or offer Dylan Raiola from both the 1890 side of things and the coaching staff side of things.
Yeah.
Maybe there's that with it.
I mean, I got to think that the college landscape is changing and changing fast. I don't doubt for a second that, like, the first year of these collectives, it's like some money. Then you see, like, Texas A&M kind of going crazy. And then everybody else is kind of watching them go crazy and going, so this is what people are doing. And it's either you're going to kind of get on board or you're not. And it sounds to me like we have Dylan, we got McCord, and we got this a big time receiver coming in.
Fleming, Julian Fleming.
Like, that tells me that we are There's got to be a major expansion of what we're willing to offer if these guys are not only like hearing us out, but seemingly like it looks like they're coming this way.
Well, here's let me go on a tangent real quick that applies to that, and I'll circle it back to this quarterback situation, because I was thinking about this and I heard Sam McEwen talk about it, but it's also something that I've thought a ton about. I've told you before that I never bought into this long runway, 4 to 5 years to build this thing up with Rule. Like, I think I don't buy that. I think Nebraska fans exhausted all their patience with Frost. Simply put, I don't think Rule and Trev have as much time as maybe they want to make it out to be. This idea that this, you know, Nebraska and its current drought that they're in from a winning program standpoint could, you know, like, the fans are going to be like, yeah, I'm cool with 5-7, 5-7, 6-6 in the first 3 years of Rule. Give me a break. I think there could be is there's a little urgency over there.
Yeah.
Where they need to win and like win right now. And the other thing with urgency is money creates urgency. Like, if you pay a lot, you expect a lot. Nebraska is now paying both coordinators over $1 million. Satterfield's getting 1.4. Tony White, because of his restructured deal, flirting with USC, got 1.6. Nebraska's paying Rule $5.5 million a year. That salary escalates higher and higher. Nebraska just spent $150 million on a practice facility. Nebraska's proposing a $450 million renovation to Memorial Stadium. All that is a lot of money. Which, to circle back, I think cranks up the urgency with everything. Nebraska needs to get good and get good fast. The other part of the urgency is this defense and Tony White. If you're Rule and you're Trev and you're Nebraska, you may be looking at your team right now and kind of go, are we like one quarterback away from like maybe
QB receiver lineman?
Like
1, 2, 3.
Are we kind of maybe like 2, 3 players away from, like, I don't know, winning like 9 or 10 games? And like, at that point, who the hell knows? I think they maybe are.
I think you look at the defense, you look at, you know, even like something as minute as Gifford and Benhart coming back becomes a big deal. Yes. If you get a quarterback, becomes a big deal. Like, those are big pieces on a team that overnight with a quarterback, I mean, I saw something, you know, something online said we're a top 10 team next. I'm like, okay, hold on.
Right.
But we're legitimately can think even top 25. Like, to think about us in the top 25, Nick, it's been a decade.
I know. I mean,
it's crazy.
And so that's what I'm like, I think there's a chance that they all of a sudden circled back up and went, wait, hold the phone here, guys. That defense is real. Like, is like a top 20 defense in the country. Good enough, right?
Ty and the polar bear are coming back. Gifford's coming back.
And Tony White's coming back.
And all those young dudes that were like playing as freshmen, like, they're not going to get worse.
No. Prince Will, all those guys, Reinhardt, Riley Van Poppen, like all those guys.
Yeah, Van Poppel, the pediatrician. Yeah,
Dr. James, he's going to come rock some more babies next year. That's his plan. Sure. I saw him at the NICU. He was rocking some babies the other day. So I guess when I said what's changed at Nebraska, well, maybe the urgency has gone up.
I mean, I think the Tony White signing tells you something about where they're at. They're like, this guy's really good.
This defense has a chance to be on paper.
Yeah.
Like, legit. And oh, by the way, like, the other thing with the urgency, have you really looked at the first 6-7 games of the schedule next year?
The start of the year is unbelievable. Let's see.
UTEP, Colorado at home, Northern Iowa at home, Illinois at home. First 4 games, all at home. Then you're at Purdue. Then you get Rutgers at home. Then you're at Indiana.
It's the schedule we've been waiting for.
It is. So I guess I just, you know, I can just picture everybody in a room and go, okay, we just got Tony White back. Okay, Gifford's coming back. Polar Bear and Ty are coming back.
I think you can sell the schedule to these to those quarterbacks. And like, you can be like, guys, if you show up and like have a pulse of what you can be, we should win the first 7 games.
There's a world. And, you know, I'm sure there queue up the YouTube comments, people listening to this, like, listen to these delusional Nebraska fans. Like, there's a world where would it stun me if Nebraska's 6-1 or 7-0 in those, like, not necessarily.
It would stun me if we don't get new quarterbacks. It would stun me. But like if we get quarterbacks and a couple pieces, that schedule looks very, very reasonable.
Yes. If Nebraska can land these,
yes,
what's on the line right now. I look at everything and I can understand how all of a sudden the urgency of things have gone up.
Yeah, I think if you're Rule, you're seeing what's happening around the country. Like I said, we're talking about Texas A&M. We hear about what's going on at Georgia. Something like Georgia, like there's like multiple guys getting $1 million. You don't get to see the numbers anywhere. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like nobody has access to who's getting paid what, but you hear the rumors, mm-hmm. right? I think the rumors in the coaching world are completely out now, and they can go to their boosters and be like, so this is what it is. How much do you want to win? It's going to take this.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, they're doing it. They are doing it and it's done.
I've heard some coaches talk about that, where like the NIL thing, the only good thing about it is now it honestly almost takes some heat off of the coaches in recruiting. And I've talked to some coaches that in college basketball that kind of go, man, I can now turn to my big boosters and say, don't look at me, look at you.
In a sense, Nick, like the boosters, this is going to sound crazy. The boosters are involved with recruiting. You know why? Because they almost are paying per player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not just like, here you go. I mean, there may be some places that they say, here you go, coach. Here's a pool of money to use, roughly. But actually, the coaches have a disconnect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the collectives make the decision on who gets the money where.
And I would think if I'm a boost, I could say, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. I want that check to go to Dylan Raiola.
Oh, Nick, if these two quarterbacks, if Matt Rule says $1 million to $2 million is what he said.
That's what he said in the press conference.
And that was a couple weeks before this happened. I mean, you got to assume, Nick, McCord is in the $1 million to $2 million and Dylan Raiola is in the $1 million to $2 million. So goodness, that means that like somebody's probably willing to write those checks right now.
I wonder if in a weird way, like I think Rule is really, I think he's wicked smart. Like was it Casey Affleck that said that?
My boy's wicked smart.
I think that's Trev came in after.
How you like them apples, Georgia?
My boy's wicked smart.
Yeah.
But when he made that comment. Vickis.
Now you're going to quote.
So you're talking.
Now you're Gordon Wood? Georgia's like, well, at least you're not going
to
be.
But you'll be serving my kids French fries when I'm driving to the bowl game. Yeah, that may be true, but at least I won't be unoriginal. God, that's good.
Oh, that's such
just domination. But when he threw that, hey, you know, a good quarterback's going to be $1 million to $2 million. Like, I think in some ways that was to maybe let the booster NIL world know what's going on. But in another way, it maybe also put up a sign for these portal guys, like a roundabout way of not saying it, but like, hey, we're open for business over here.
I don't know exactly how this works. Like, I don't exactly know how this whole chain of communication goes, right? But Rule has to stay out of the direct, here's the amount of money I'm paying you. It's kind of a gray.
Yeah, but
it's a gray zone. But
he's supposed to. But come on,
like. But here's the part that's tricky is, you know, like the collectives, they are out essentially like. They are out recruiting and, you know, they got to be up on this stuff. They got to be on these players as a part of this thing. And it's a weird world how that kind of works. And
I don't know. I look at all this stuff and to me, the urgency is cranked up to go get a real quarterback.
Yeah.
And maybe Raiola and even Kyle McCord can see all of what we just talked about. They see a power conference Big Ten program that desperately needs a quarterback that has a good defense in place and a Brinks truck of NIL money ready to back up to their driveway and just dump it on their doorstep. And I would say all of that creates a fairly attractive situation for Raiola, Kyle McCord.
I do too. I think these two quarterbacks would walk in here, and we are so desperate that like we almost aren't believing what's happening. I think people are going to throw money at him. I think the fans are going to throw money at him. The businesses are going to throw money at him. Yes. They're going to be like, we finally got some good players, some good, like, we can't believe we're getting the number one quarterback and you're a former five-star.
There are two five-star. It's just remarkable that what we are talking about. You're going from a quarterback situation of Jeff Sims, Heinrich Harburg, and Chubba Purdy to potentially a quarterback situations that has two five-stars, one of which just started and went 11-1 at Ohio State, and the other one is the number one recruit in the country. Like, this is all unbelievable to me.
That's why we're having this pod, because we almost can't believe what we're saying.
No. And the one thing, like, with McCord and Raiola, let's talk a little bit more about landing them both, because some are trying to sell that picture and, like, that McCord, could you see the other, I'd love to know what the other,
if you're
what
each
McCord, guy thinks about
if
that.
If you're McCord, so I think I understand it from Raiola. If Raiola wants to be here with a year buffer, that's a great situation. He knows McCord's a good player. It's good for the program. Good guy to learn under. And he'll be out of here for sure.
Yes, he's gone. In 1 year, Kyle McCord is out.
For McCord, unless it's just like, he's like, well, they're going to offer me $1 million more than anybody else. It's a little bit like Royola is seemingly good enough that is it too much of a threat, or is he established enough? He's like, I know, you know, cause sometimes if you're a senior and you go like, I'm not scared of a freshman.
Right? Yeah. So you remember that. I can remember being a team, you know, some hotshot freshman come in and you're like,
you're not as worried as the fans are. Like he was great at Liberty High.
Right. Like, junior Tiny McGee. No, I'm not worried about that guy, but I could see how both view each other as a threat, especially because just say it out loud here. Like, you know, I don't know if it depends on what Raiola wants to come in and start, then obviously he does not like this Kyle McCord situation.
Yeah.
I also think Kyle McCord goes and struggles in the third game of the year.
And Raiola's ready.
And Raiola's the five-star legacy nephew is the O-line coach. I mean, you think people wanted Harburg or wanted Chuba. I mean, imagine Raiola. Imagine McCord throws his second interception in the second quarter and Nebraska's down 10-3 and Dylan Raiola is sitting on the sidelines. People are going to be like,
yeah.
So I wonder what that.
So there is that dynamic you always have to worry about. But my philosophy is,
oh, I don't care from Nebraska's like perspective.
It's like we were very sensitive to that
people's feelings,
and we didn't get Joe Burrow because we were worried about
Adrian Martinez.
Where it's like, I think and even though, like, you've got to think about, like, Dylan, he was going to Georgia where they had a whole boatload of good, like, so you need a couple quarterbacks. We have to have two, maybe three, right? So, like, that was even the place for Kalen, like, keep Kalen. I don't care. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good to have another one. Like, so I'm not against keeping Kalen either, but I think these guys got to be okay with another quarterback being in the building, right? And that's where I think got to be fine with McCord being there if he's not like, I have to be the starter on, you know,
that's right. I don't know what
it can't be like these guys,
because it has to be McCord. Like, if McCord's coming, McCord's got to be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other point to have McCord here otherwise, right? So it'd be very weird to me if these guys weren't both in on this, like, here's what's going
on board with it.
Yeah, to me there's got to be some sort of connection, because if it's like, we're recruiting him and we're recruiting him, we're hoping to get one of them, like, that would be a weird moment right now where you're like, you have two really good players and you have to choose between them almost.
Yeah.
And they have to choose. It's like, I don't want to be there. I want it to be.
I mean, yeah, I think from Nebraska's perspective, you absolutely want to have, you know, both of them. But, like, I don't know. It's like at the end of a limit date and being like, can I have both of you?
I choose you both. They're like, that's not how this works. Like,
I choose both of you.
Thank you for great TV.
Lemonade, what a great show.
So I'm curious how that whole situation sorts itself out, like both of them in there.
You got to choose one. You got to go Raiola.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I have to choose one, I'm definitely going to choose Dylan Raiola. Couple other things that I've wrote down here. You like Seinfeld. You didn't necessarily love Seinfeld, right?
I like it. I mean, I've seen every episode.
Yeah. Do you remember the episode where George has a picture of a model and he claims it was his ex?
It works. He helps him get girls.
And because he had dated a model, it allowed other models then liked him. I think there could be a little bit of this is like a potential. If Nebraska could land Ohio State's starting quarterback in the portal, former five-star, and land, regardless of Raiola, the connections, whatever, land the five-star number one quarterback in the country, this is akin to Costanza having a picture that this was his ex-girlfriend of a model. Yeah. Like, and now this could be a changing of the lens at which everybody views Nebraska from these other five stars, these other highly touted guys.
I mean, at some point since Sam Bradford, Oklahoma became a quarterback school.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Great point. Yeah,
you know, I mean, I guess Jason White won the Heisman, but like, I don't know. He was never a real like pro prospect to me. He was like he was on good teams.
Right.
But like, you know, like you get Kyler and Baker and like, it became like a thing where the good quarterback wanted to go to Oklahoma, where that's not always been there. They haven't always been USC. They haven't always been, you know,
Florida
Yeah. So like, I do think there is that perception, like you get the guy and all of a sudden now, like you have that, the kids growing up that go, oh, that's where Heisman Trophy winner, or that's where first round draft pick quarterbacks go.
Right.
Like we've never had that.
No,
we've had the running option QBs. And then we've been sort of been like, you know, not like we've never found like a super talented guy. Just never have.
And so I don't know. I was thinking about that of like, man, you talk about just a perception changer.
Oh, Nick, I think we land those two. So this would be my prediction. We land those two quarterbacks this week. Let's say it happens. I still, part of me doesn't.
I know. Until
it's not to me. It's not until it happens. This is like another, like we got really excited.
Yes.
But then it'll be interesting to see who else will come to play an offense with these guys. Who out of the portal can we, okay, who's coming now? What recruits go, I'll come. And even defensively, if people catch wind, like, ooh, Nebraska with a pretty good defense just landed some offensive guys, then you can maybe add a few pieces on defense that go want to come play on a team that might win.
Yes.
And it, you know, like Nebraska has the tradition. We've got the resources, we got the facilities. Like there's a lot to like when this school's good. It's just, we've been down and there's a little stigma and God dang, it's amazing. Just starting to think through this right now. If this goes down, it feels like the doors start opening for us. And this is a bizarre way for this to happen, but gosh, it feels like something's happening here.
So like three more things and then we'll wrap this up. I will say real quick, tough deal for Daniel Kalen.
Tough.
I'm not saying I don't, but like sometimes that's life. Life's just not fair.
Yeah.
Not kind, but somehow life just, you know,
if he's a good person, it's going to work out for him. But like it's legitimately, it sucks. Like he got looked over and he was a second choice. And now they're bringing back the first choice. And I do respect they're saying like, hey, we'll honor your scholarship. But like,
but I think if you're Kalen, you're probably going, well, I mean, what am I doing?
You know, the writing's on the wall.
Right.
If Ryo, I mean, it sucks. A part of me wishes he'd stayed and be like the guy that's like, I don't care if it's Raiola.
Well, because
that's what I actually would like to see out of him is be like,
but who knows by the time you listen to this, who knows where news has gone, but there were some rumblings that Kalen and Michigan State were a thing now, but it's just hard. He committed, you know, he wanted to be a Husker. Nebraska was all in on Raiola. Raiola goes to Georgia. Then he decommits from Missouri right away to join Nebraska. Then all of a sudden, Raiola comes back into the fold, and now he's potentially on the outside looking in. By all accounts, you listen to Brian Christofferson, Mike Schaefer, Sam McEwen, Sean Callahan. By all accounts, Kalen was instrumental doing a ton of peer recruiting over the course of the summer and the fall. Like, he did the good tight end out of Ainsworth.
Yeah.
Or like the two, obviously, teammates of Bell West, probably. Who knows if they come. Like, and it's just kind of crazy. A week before signing day, you know, it's like what Wayne's World, Cassandra, when Wayne showed up at Cassandra's wedding to get her back. Like, that's kind of what happened here. Oh, it's that's rough. What do you think?
I'm loving your references today. You're all over Costanza, Goodwill Hunting. I mean, Nick, you're on it. Wayne's World 2.
So good.
Nick Baugh.
I do think, by the way, the other day I watched, I don't know where I would have been that I watched the first 25-30 minutes of Wayne's World. I mean, that movie, it's
spectacular.
It's incredible. It's the one thing that's unique about it that I wonder if kids today, I don't think kids today view rock and rock stars the same way.
Yes.
They used to be viewed, you know, cause the whole thing, we're not worthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Aerosmith, you know, like a big part of that movie is like the aura and the rock, pedestal that Wayne and Garth put rock.
They mean rock t-shirts?
Yeah, like they're – and so that's like a central part of that movie that I watched. I was like, I don't know if that's how it really – even the movie Almost Famous.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Those kinds of movies, it's just a different world.
The girls are groupies. That movie's about groupies who basically like – follow bands around and sleep with them.
Yes. I know. Like, and I just groupies. Don't. Yeah.
Like that's, it's hard to think about that now, but that was like a thing in the 60s and 70s.
Yes. And it just, women, men, everybody put rock bands and rock stars on a pedestal and rock music on.
I think rappers get that more now.
Maybe
a little bit.
Now there's like there's YouTube famous people and there's TikTok famous people. So I don't know.
Not
sorry.
Real. They're not real famous people. They're just.
But real quick, as we're going in hypothetical world, let's say Nebraska lands McCord and Raiola. What's your guess on what do Chuba? Because I think Chuba can graduate and maybe transfer. He has to graduate to transfer. But do you think Heine stays? Do you think Chuba? Like, because you do need. You need one of those guys to stay.
Yeah, one of them will stay. I mean, I think
Heine.
I think Heine stays.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Heine's in Nebraska. I think he stays. And Chuba's a coin flip. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell at this point with him.
If he has one more year left, maybe he's sitting there going like, I want to go play at, I don't know, North Texas and be the starter or something. Arizona and be the starter.
He had his little moment. He had his moment. I think. You know, like I said, I mean, we'll never see. Until this shakes out.
Yeah, who
like,
knows?
He's still in the picture until this is a done deal. I think he's the guy here if they can't get a quarterback. So I think for him, if they do sign, I mean, I think it's sort of writing on the wall for him. And he's still, I think he's a guy that can play somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know if it's, is it a Nebraska level or does he need to go? Does he need to go like to
a MAC school or a Conference USA school, a Mountain West school or something? I don't know. Two more things. We're out. There's the whole saying of what a penny saved is a penny earned. And in this, and we've already talked about it, but it bears reiterating. We sit here and we get all excited about who the new person coming in is all exciting. But the fact that Nebraska was able to retain Tony White, where there was a moment there about a couple of weeks ago where it looked like homeboy was going to go to USC. The fact they were able to retain Tony White, they were able to keep Polar Bear, Ty Robinson, Gifford, Ben Hart. Like, I want to repeat it. Like, that is huge. Yeah. The fact that there has it now, it could change. You never know. There has not been, this I will say speaks well to Rule. There has not been there's been very little portal movement out.
There's been no exodus.
No.
None.
So it's good that a lot of people clearly like want to be here.
And it also tells you, Nick, that like Nebraska's resources are real. I do think that these guys are, they're making something here.
Oh yeah, they are.
And I don't think, Nick, I don't think most schools are making much. Like you go to these Big East or, you know, ACC average below average. Like, I think these places are okay.
Right.
I think you'd be surprised though. The top traditional schools in the country that have the history and the great, I think they just have such a competitive advantage for these resources that I think it speaks who's guys are leaving. Like, Michigan State's are flying out the door. Are they paying? Yeah. Are they paying right?
I don't know. All the guys, Polar Bear, Ty Robinson, Gifford, Benhart, I bet they all got new NIL deals that were healthy. And you know what? That's a part of NIL that I'm like, you know what, Polar Bear, you pay that man. You know,
it's fine. I don't like that you have to. It's sometimes you get more bang for your buck if you threaten to leave, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's the nature of it. I don't like having to negotiate against your school and your teammates. And I don't love that part of it, but it's the reality of it. And these guys have to do that.
And I will say, and you, I don't know if you agree with this, but when I had a moment when I heard Rule talk about that million to 2 million thing, I did have a moment where I was thinking about listen, we get being on a team, being unselfish, being for the team. Everybody is conditionally loyal.
Yeah.
Everybody's loyalty probably has a price outside of your family, your kids, all those things. Everybody is conditionally loyal. Everybody has a price. Like, if you can go make $2 million at age 20, I almost,
you gotta
think you're stupid to not do it.
You gotta do it.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
If you're the Ward kid out at Washington State, yeah, you may love your teammates. You may love it, but
they understand.
Like, I would go to my team. Imagine whoever, Joe Gans, comes to you and goes, Bo,
it's 2 million.
I can get 2 million from Texas Tech. You would go,
it's more money than some people make in their lifetime.
Yes.
And you just go, I've come to college to, get educated, to learn how to make a living and get and this is the living.
Yes.
I'm going to make it in tenfold.
Yes. Yes. I just thought about how I used to be so where's the loyalty? Where's the debt? Man, when we're talking about somebody getting $1 million, $2 million
with that
plus,
kind of money, it's so
you go,
it's hey, you offered me 50 grand. They offered me 75. It's that's different than Marvin Harrison Jr. $20 million.
Yeah, you're going, okay, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. If somebody offers Marvin Harrison Jr. 30, it's bye, Marvin.
Bye.
I wish you well, teammate.
And if you explain that to someone, you go, okay.
I wouldn't let my teammate not take 10 extra million. I'd be like,
take honestly, it. Someone comes to me and explains that to me, I'd be like,
let me explain how this works. That's 10 million extra dollars.
That's 10 million bucks. That's 5 million bucks. That's $1 million, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Last thing, we're out of here. Sip made this point, and it really was interesting to me. It's funny how in the moment Nebraska loses those four games in a row to end the year, they're stuck on 5 wins. They don't go to a bowl again. And you're like, man, I remember how we felt after that Iowa game and how we felt after the Wisconsin game and how, you left with a bad taste in your mouth, all those kinds of things. Sip, his point of that he actually thinks what is unfolding now is better for the program moving forward than if Nebraska would have found a way to maybe they kick that field goal against Maryland and they hold Tua and those guys and they're in a bowl game. Because who knows, maybe if Nebraska does that, they keep things more status quo. They made a bowl game.
Chuba's
the guy. Is there a, as much as I never want to live in a world where I am siding with losing, could you almost view this like it was a tanking thing to
in the end, the only difference is, were people more desperate in the booster world? Because I don't think Matt Rule's any different other than he's maybe a realization is we have to have a quarterback and we'll do anything for it. Maybe that is the only saving grace of losing that bad was like the reality of the quarterback position that we have to pay for. And I think, Nick, your point, I'm thinking about still, I think it's a great point. You're talking about all these things we just invested in, and we can't afford not to have a good offense with something for our fans to be excited about, because that's who's going to pay for it. Like,
yes,
think about Deion Sanders in Colorado. Yeah, it didn't end well this season, but they were saying like the economy in Boulder, like
it
was worth like hundreds of millions of dollars to their economy. Deion's sort of like unbelievable rise.
Yeah.
And so that's a real factor of people being excited and tuning in. So like if we land these guys, Nick, I want you to watch if there are any tickets that are not sold out. And then you want to watch how fast they sell. I guarantee you that all of a sudden we get those two guys and maybe a couple, like
you get Fleming, selling, you get another. Yeah.
They'll start selling tickets, Nick. They will. I promise you they will. And that's the part where Nebraska fans will show out numbers and they will pay money for jerseys, and like everything Nebraska becomes real again. The things that are built into the state just get turned back on.
Yeah.
And the spigot goes back, and all that money they spent, the $2 million on quarterbacks, is super chump change compared to the hundreds of millions they'll make if we're good.
So it's just, I completely agree. I just thought it was an interesting thought, because I never would have thought there would have been a scenario that could have unfolded over the course of the month after the season ended that I would think, wow, this was maybe better for the program that they didn't go to a bowl game and didn't keep things status quo and didn't have the urgency that they needed to maybe go get this situation where you get McCord and Raiola. It's just, you know, maybe, you know, we've talked about this curse. Maybe the last games were the living, breathing, unfolding of the reverse of the curse of like the football gods being like, just hold on. You're going to lose these four games, but that's going to set forth a series of events that is going to land you Kyle McCord and Dylan Raiola. And you then are going to now be set up for.
But I think to reverse a curse, you have to do something. And I think it's maybe as simple as like checkbook.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it's as simple as that. Yeah.
That may reverse the curse mind. Like, or maybe some guy walked in with like the lottery check, you know, like
the giant
check need to be brought in the building. Like, I don't know. Maybe that, like, we just had to go, like, we tried every other thing humanly possible, so we decided on money.
Just whatever it is. It's just,
it's Wednesday. Raiola gets here Friday, maybe, or something like that. So, I would love, I mean, I don't know when those guys' timelines are, but like, to me, the longer it goes, the more it, I don't know. Like, I feel like if it's going to happen, won't it happen soon?
Well, because why would you come? I mean, if you're Raiola, you've already taken 10, 12 visits to Nebraska. To me, you are coming to cross the T's and dot the I's of an NIL deal.
Because here's the thing, these guys, like, it's not like if he just showed up on campus again, we'd be like, oh, it's like,
and
these,
this is a training room.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, he's seen all this shit.
Yeah.
He's
his uncle's on the staff. Like the, who are these insiders that are flipped? Like, so like who has communicated this? Like, I don't understand how that works, but clearly like it's been communicated to these people, the writers at the major papers and the Mitch Shermans of the world, they seem to have a trust in it too.
Yes.
To where I'm like, I guess I stick with that, but
I know,
like, it didn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense at all to me, but because when I first saw the report, I was like, okay, now wait a minute. But then, you know, you have your different national recruiting analysts, Steve Wilfong, different people that change their crystal ball predictions from Georgia to Nebraska. And you go, and then you hear about an official visit coming up and you go, man,
that's what they do. I mean, that's what those guys' professions are. Like, they don't change
you're not going to change your crystal ball prediction.
Like, they're not sitting there going like, I just thought about Nebraska. I'm like, they legitimately get a phone call from somebody that says,
this is happening.
Talk to the Raiolas. It sounds like they're going to Nebraska. This fell apart with Georgia and Nebraska can't. Like, it's got to be that, right? It's got to be that. And they called him and he's like, can you confirm that? Like, I can confirm.
Yes.
They wouldn't do it unless that, because like, That's them. That's their job.
Yes. So unbelievable. This is,
I mean,
to go from the Nebraska's quarterback situation to potentially Kyle McCord and Dylan Raiola is jarring.
Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect scenario if we can pull it off.
Yes.
It's just, wow.
Yeah. So, okay. We wanted it. We went about 50 minutes. We were nice and tight there. I guess we'll check back in a week to see. A week from today is the early signing period.
Yeah.
And
if you think he's going to wait for a signing day to announce,
I hope not. Now, I also thought maybe this weekend it's like you finalize the NIL deal and there's like an announcement of some kind. I did feel bad. Did you see the video that Gifford and Ben Hart? Boy, did they pick the wrong day to announce that they're coming. They dropped their fun video of them coming back the same day the McCord's on campus. News breaks that he's back, like involved with Nebraska. I mean, they're probably like, good God.
Well, I mean, it's too bad, but for them, it's like, those guys are good for business.
Oh yeah. By the way, have you ever sat in one of those nap pods?
No, never have. Would love to.
I would love to do that.
I might break in there and be like,
I would feel a little, would you feel a little like your lower body exposed, but you're like,
I don't think I like that.
I don't think I'd like that at all.
You want to protect
yeah. your lower extremities. I don't think I'd like to imagine fully going under. You're asleep and your whole lower body's exposed. I don't think I like that at all. I'm like, can I get a whole pod? Yeah. I want a whole nap pod.
It's like primal, something primal. Like,
yeah, like
you're going to let the lions come get my legs.
Do you think cavemen were like, I sleep half my body out of cave. No, you're like, no, like that's a horrible idea. Caveman, Daryl,
you keep those legs.
You keep your legs inside of it. Yeah. But, now that was unfortunate. That's like, should we release this movie? Forrest Gump is releasing the same day. That's not a big deal, right? We'll be fine. Independence Day.
We're taking on Gump and Shawshank. Huh? Like Titanic.
Gifford and Ben Hart were like
Titanic and Saving Private Ryan. Like good choice.
Good choice. Way to go. Avatar. That movie can't be that big, right? No problem at all.
Ooh, that's the same weekend. Oh my bad. My bad.
Oh goodness. Okay. Well, we'll circle back in a week when the dust settles with at least the early signing period. Now that might not, a guy like McCord might drag into January. Like I don't, cause he's not that, you know, the early signing period is a high school thing. So yeah. I don't know when the McCord thing is going to happen, but
I guess for them, like
I would think the sooner you'd,
if you got a bowl game though, like what do you, he's in the portal. Like
he's
so,
in the portal. He's not.
So he's not playing. That's
That's the only thing I will say. Not to end on like a sour note, but like, is there something a little like? Now, I mean, Kyle McCord is walking away from Ohio State. Now there was, you kind of from the outside looking in. There was maybe a little bit of, I think maybe Ryan Day didn't necessarily want to name him the starter and didn't really fully embrace him. But you're walking away from Ohio State, a national championship contender. You got, you know, ridiculous amount of talent around you. That's a little like, And then there is an element of like, Raiola, he moved to Georgia. And he's gone to three different high schools in 4 years and he's been committed to Ohio State. Now he's committed to Georgia. Like, I don't know. Like
it feels a little like there's a lot of drama in like, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of that. Like,
there's a lot of that. I'm just throwing that out there.
Me and you come from such stable worlds where it's like, we're born in Lincoln.
Wait, you moved? You went to a different? You mean you didn't go to Lincoln Southeast?
We had the same friends since we were there. We would never think of moving.
Dylan Rowe, have you ever considered going to Lincoln Southeast High School? I think
it would be good for him to be like, so what we do here is we never leave. And we talk a lot about Lincoln Southeast and what it was like to go there.
I think it would have been good for
and
him.
And then we stay here longer.
We stay here forever.
And we make no new friends.
And we hang out with only each other.
But we'll always be secure. Yeah.
That's where it is.
But like, we are very, like, we're such loyalists that like it's hard for us to like think about like
yes, going to a different
three high school. I mean, I guess the one was circumstantial. So the one was like there was a transfer that they weren't going to grant him, so he had to move to
yes.
So that last one,
one I can wrap my mind to be able to play football, yeah. You know. But yeah, you commit, decommit. You go to this high school.
That's in his life,
he has moved more in his life than like our sphere of influence people like combined.
I mean, but we always laugh about my commitment, which is like they're like Frank Solich was like, would you like to drop your scholarship? I go, I'll take it, and I was done.
And he was like, recruiting you over to your parents,
recruitment
like,
over. He goes, you want to talk to your dad about it? I was like, nope, I'll take it. My recruitment was over.
I love that you thought it was like a no takey backseat. Like you, yeah. Like you can't take it back.
So it was like
witness.
It was the last day of camp. My recruitment, which I wasn't really recruited before that. My recruitment began at like call it 9:01 on a Wednesday afternoon, and it was over, sealed, and done by 9:02 on Wednesday afternoon. You never had to recruit me again. It was a 1 minute.
Look at you, the most low maintenance recruit.
The most low maintenance.
Has there ever been a lower maintenance, more production, higher production? I submit there cannot be one.
Okay, that's where I think maybe I did the best job of ever. Not wasting their time. No one's time was wasted, including my own.
Nobody.
1 minute of recruiting. I was committed for like the longest in Nebraska history. And I've never needed another.
And you've never, yeah.
They've never had to recruit.
So it's just hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Some people want to be recruited and decommitted. Like, but if there was NIL, I'd be like, Frank,
let me tell you.
Wait a minute. Whatever it is.
I'll take it.
Homer Simpson, reject the first offer. I'll offer you like a. Some terrible like bag of.
Well, that's like the Kramer when he burned the coffee, and they were going to offer him free. They were going to offer him like $1 million, and it's like we'll offer you free coffee. And Kramer's like, I'll take it. That was you. You would have been a bad NIL negotiator back in the day. But I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing. It's like, okay, McCord leaving Ohio State. Okay, that's kind of interesting.
I don't really. I'm sort of like, it's hard to tell.
But who knows what their NIL situation, and this is where it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. And there's $1 million, $2 million potentially to be had. Like,
yeah.
He could be the quarterback at Ohio State I'm just throwing out numbers. Maybe he's making $400,000 there, $500,000 there. Who knows? I would think it'd be more than that. Or he's going to get offered $2 million to go play at Nebraska for a year. It's like, oh, I'll consider that.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Harrison's getting 20, and let's say he's getting $500,000 to $1 million at Ohio State, and we offer him two. Two is a big difference.
Yeah.
Two is like,
yes, it's a. I mean, geez,
I think you go for two. If you're getting one, they offer you two. You go, yeah, sure.
Oh God,
I mean, it's crazy to even say these numbers. I mean, we're making them up.
Isn't that crazy? I mean,
Matt Rhule said 1 to 2, so I'm gonna go off of Matt Rhule, but like, it still seems like a lot.
Dana Altman. I'm trying to think when I was a GA. I can't even remember what he paid me. Like, it was like a stipend. He was like $800 a month.
Probably.
And every time he'd hand me a check, he'd be like, overpaid. Every time.
The world has come a long way.
Overpaid.
Not only does he not pay you, he writes overpaid.
Like, you're writing the check and signing it, and he's just
overpaid.
Like,
overpaid.
Overpaid. $800 a month. Barely covers my rent. Oh. Really, I mean, rent, utilities, all that stuff. I had enough money on the side to go do like nothing. Have like a Subway sandwich with you and grab a beer with you. But yeah, things have changed. Okay, we'll wrap it up there. We'll try to, in a week, we'll maybe circle back, see where the dust settles. Again, if by the time you're listening to this, everything we've said has been rendered incorrect, I apologize. Hopefully you still enjoyed it. You got a Wayne's World reference, a Seinfeld reference, a Good Will Hunting reference. You got enough references to sustain you for the next week, right?
Let's go read Gordon Wood.
Let's go. We regurgitate Gordon Wood.
A Herd at Sports Network production.